By way of introduction, I want to talk about heaven. The Apostle Paul was given a vision of the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And there he heard, as he says, unspeakable words. Unspeakable words. What were they? We don't know. They are unspeakable. For whatever reason, they were unspeakable. However, there are words spoken in heaven that we do know. First of all, let us get a background setting of heaven back in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, we have a description of God's throne here in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 and 5 are the preface to Great Tribulation, the day of the Lord, and gives it from God's perspective, the judgments that are going to be poured out on earth in the future. And it goes on into New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John is transfigured from flesh to spirit, from time to eternity. He sees the events of the tribulation, the day of the Lord, and the New Jerusalem. He sees the future, but he sees the most astonishing sight imaginable. He sees God and the throne of God. He sees God sitting on his throne, and what is going on around that throne. And this is what he writes about, this awesome description in Revelation chapter 4. I'm not going to read through it, verses 3 to 7. He sees jasper color, sardius, rainbow like emerald, 24 elders surrounding the throne and clothed in white robes and 24 crowns on their heads, lightnings, thundering, seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of God, the sea of glass like crystal, four living creatures, one on each side of the throne. Then he hears some words. Words that are speakable. Beginning with verse 8 of chapter 4. Four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Day and night. Carry on into chapter 5. John says in verse 1, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Only the Lamb was able to take the scroll out of the hand of the one who was sitting on the throne, who is the Father. And when he does, verse 8 of chapter 5, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Before going forward, those are our prayers. They are in bowls. Think of it in comparison to the angels. Day and night, holy, holy, holy. Then open up my bowl, or as the King James says, my vial. What's there? What is in my bowl? By comparison to these angels who are worshiping God, what is in my bowl? Drop down, verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven, stop and think, every creature on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all of them that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. What's in my bowl? Talks about 144,000 in chapter 7. Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 7 says all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." You think God gets tired of hearing it? Yet he then opens up the vial of mine or my bowl and he listens to what I say. What is he hearing? You can go through the book of Revelation. I'll just bring out one other area, and that's in chapter 19. Revelation 19. Proceed forward through the tribulation, through the heavenly signs, through the Day of the Lord, the plagues as well. And we come here to chapter 19, verse 1. "After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." Again they said, "Alleluia," her smoke rises up forever and ever. 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and they worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings, and saying, "Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give him glory. The marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready." Blessing, glory, honor, might, power, riches, thanksgiving, wisdom, praise, hallelujah. It is very humbling to see the attitude of the angels toward God and compare that to my bowl, to my vial. Very humbling. Years ago, I did a study on some of these terms that are brought out here in the book of Revelation. And from time to time, I would go through that study because it was to help me improve my own prayer life and to get me a front end alignment, because I could tell you what's in my bowl from time to time. It's about me. Too often, it's about me. It's about my needs or an extension of my responsibilities. It's about something concerning me. What about God? So today I want to concentrate on one of those terms because it ties in with this special weekend, which we unfortunately have been ditching in this country, the term blessing. Blessing. Start off on a lighter note. Little Johnny was at school for the first day of school. The teacher advised the kids that they're going to all stand up and they will recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, put their hands over their hearts. Certainly, I'm sure most of us can remember doing that. I don't even know if they do that today. We turn and we face the flag and we would put the hand over the heart of Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. So the teacher had all the kids stand up, including Johnny. And the teacher said, I want you to recite after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag. And they would recite it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. He turned around and looked at the class. He saw little Johnny. Little Johnny had his right hand over his right back cheek, his right buttocks. The teacher looked at him and says, Johnny, I want you to put your right hand over your heart. Johnny says, my hand is over my heart, teacher. And they were going back and forth, back and forth. And the teacher says, well, now, Johnny, why do you think your hand is over your heart? And little Johnny says, every time my grandmama comes to town, she picks me up and she pats me right here and says, bless your little heart. And my grandma don't lie. Well, we're not going to be dealing with the location of the heart. We're going to be dealing with the blessing. The Greek word for blessing is eulogia, compound word, prefix eu, means good. The root, logia, logos, logia, means word, good word. Strong says fine speaking, elegance of language, commendation, reverential adoration. Arndt Gingrich's lexicon says praise. The Hebrew equivalent, which we will concentrate on, and it's over 300 times in the Old Testament, is Barak, B-A-R-A-K, similar to the name of previous president of the United States without the C. It means to kneel. To bless God, an act of adoration. So let's go back to Deuteronomy. 300 scriptures in just the Old Testament alone, obviously. We're just going to do a little bit of an overview. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Beginning of the chapter, Moses is writing to the children of Israel, remember God, keep his commandments, and he will bless you. And he did, and he has. Those of us who have had the opportunity to travel abroad know how blessed this land is. There is no question you can go and you can see some fantastic places around the world. You may have even been to the Middle East and seen Dubai. I mean, opulent wealth. But that is not shared by everybody in the country. It is no place like the United States of America. This is it. God has blessed it. Kate Smith sang the song written by Irving Berlin years ago, God Bless America, Land That I Love. And in our litigious society, in our critical society, now Kate Smith is coming under questioning because of some songs that she sang before that. We will find everything that is wrong except the right thing. God has indeed blessed America. But material blessings can cause us to forget God. Verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Amazing, the land. This year, we were cutting back on the food for Thanksgiving, and we were still overwhelmed. It's amazing what we have. Verse 9, a land in which you eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stone is iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and you are full, it's not a matter of turning on the game to see the Dallas Cowboys or the New Orleans Saints or the Detroit Lions that go back many, many years. When you have eaten and are full, you shall barak. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I have commanded you. I have blessed you. It's for a purpose. I want you to keep my law. Obey me. Oh, how we have gotten it out of whack. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and you build beautiful houses, and we have them, you dwell in them. When your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have is multiplied, your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to the house of bondage. I blessed you. Slogan of the campaign 3 years ago, MAGA, make America great again. Hello, who made America great in the first place? You want to make America great again? Turn to the one who made it great in the first place. Turn to God, who says, keep my law and do what I say. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19. This one from David. Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Barak, he daily loads us with benefits. In this season, and it should be throughout our lives, ask myself the question, am I blessed? Am I blessed? Back in the 90s, there was a series of books that came out. Some, I'm sure, went ahead and purchased those books. Chicken Soup for the Soul, series of them. I did. I purchased most of those volumes of Chicken Soup, very inspirational stories. In the first volume, 101, story of an outstanding baseball catcher of the old Brooklyn Dodgers. Growing up in this state, back in the 50s, into the 60s, I was a Dodger fan. Brooklyn Dodgers. Jackie Robinson broke in with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947, and the following year, Roy Campanella in 1948, and that's what the story's about, Roy Campanella. But surprisingly, I wasn't a Brooklyn Dodger fan so much because of Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson and Don Newcomb. It was because of Duke Snider. Why? Duke Snider was left-handed, and I was left-handed. So that's my favorite ball player on the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers, with Duke Snider, Pee Wee Reese at shortstop. But this is about Roy Campanella. As I said, he broke into the majors after Jackie Robinson, first black to enter into the major leagues, and then the second year we find Roy Campanella and others started coming in. 10 years later, he was paralyzed by an accident, and his playing days were over. And he said this, we're a rugged breed, us quads. If we weren't, we wouldn't be around today. Yes, we're a rugged breed. In many ways, we've been blessed with a very savvy and a spirit that isn't given to everybody. Down in the reception room on the Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation over the East River, at 400 East 34th Street in New York City, there's a bronze plaque that's riveted to the wall. During the months of coming back to the Institute for treatment, two or three times a week, I rolled through the reception room many times, coming and going. But I never quite made the time to pull over to one side and read the words on the plaque that were written. It said, to be by an unknown Confederate soldier. Then one afternoon I did. I read it, and then I read it to near bursting. Not in despair, but in an inner glow, it had me straining the grips of the arms of my wheelchair. I like to share it with you. It is a prayer that I generally focus on at this time of the year. I've brought it out before. I first heard it as the prayer of the unknown Confederate soldier. And the prayer goes, I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. How blessed am I? How blessed am I? David says, bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. How blessed am I? A number of us have been around church for a long time. We can go back to the old gray hymnal, and it was even morphed into the later hymnal in the Worldwide Church of God, the song, Count Your Blessings, written by a man in the 19th century by the name of Johnson Oatman. The first couple of stanzas, he develops the thought that counting our blessings serves as an antidote to discouragements and fears that we experience in this life. Third stanza, we eliminate it because it talks about going to heaven. Obviously, if we were to change it, we could go ahead and talk about the kingdom of God because it is a means of placing these material blessings in perspective when the ultimate outcome is the eternal life at the end. Final stanza, he shows how God's help and comfort to the end of this earthly pilgrimage is one of the greatest blessings that we have. When upon life's billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When was the last time I did that? One of the assignments I've given years ago this time of the year, sit down at Thanksgiving and count them. Name them. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. But you look at our bowl. You look at our vial. Open it up. What is God hearing? Someone calculated several years ago, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than 6 million people who will not survive the week. How blessed am I? If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in the world. How blessed am I? If you can attend church or a religious institution without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, which is happening, you are blessed than more than 3 billion people in the world. How blessed? If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. Whoa. America. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. But oh, how we take our blessings for granted. Yes, Satan does deceive us at this time of the year, but he deceives us every day. Most folks only ask for the most part, complain about the lack of financial blessings. But if you were to put a price tag on those blessings, you bought a modest car, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. If you took that same car to the junkyard, you get $100,000 for it. All the junk. I read that the human body, with market prices on all the minerals and compounds in it, are worth 47 cents. But if you took the same body, sold it for the parts, how much would it be worth? What are we willing to pay? Coronary artery, bypass surgery, $15,000 to $20,000. Heart transplant, over $200,000. Gastrointestinal surgery, $15,000. Fertility treatment, $40,000. Kidney transplant, $42,000. Liver transplant, $115,000. Bone marrow transplant, $106,000. Lung transplant, $105,000. Home nursing for elderly parents, $300 a day. What would I give? As I now am entering into an age, I think about those when we first got here. Richard Scribner turns 100 next year. We had the one down at the nursing home who turned 100. Wanda Rand nearly made to 100. Thankfully, they were in better health. And here I've made it to 70 and fallen apart. What would I pay for walking? Eyesight, you know the problem that I have. I've had to change the font on my notes. What would I pay to see? What would I pay to hear? As we were driving over here, PGA Boulevard, at the light with the lady next to us with an oxygen device in her nose. What would I pay to breathe? Thanksgiving was only 2 days ago. But the way we live in this country, it doesn't exist. Back to Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Get off my hobby horse now and start writing. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, it says, at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. God designated the Levites not only for the purpose of carrying the ark. Those Levites were also composing a choir. And they would sing blessings to God. Who are the Levites today? Do we bless in his name? Do we bless him? Two scriptures just to tie in. I'm not going to go over there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You are living stones. You're built up a spiritual house. You're the holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We must offer spiritual sacrifices. What are they? Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, the giving of thanks. This is our bowl. This is what God wants to see in our bowl. After David collected all of the items for the temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, by modern standards, you read the first part of the chapter for the temple, they collected something almost like $500 million. That's a lot for one building. David says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 10, therefore David blessed Barak the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, Barak, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that you have in heaven and in earth, it's yours. It's yours. The suit I have on, it's yours. These glasses that I wear to improve my sight, they are yours. The shoes on my feet, they're yours. The Bible, it's yours. All that I have. The money in my pocket, it's yours. But I like to use a different pronoun. Uh-uh, this is mine, man. I got my money clip in my back pocket. And the money clip has an H on it. Stands for Hampton. It don't stand for God. He says, yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and great and give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? $500 million. And at times we can come to holy days and give an offering. And I have to remind even those in the Caribbean, because they don't have what we have here in this country. And so it is more of a challenge for them. But for them to understand, first of all, that little bit that you have is not much. The widow only had two mites. But it belonged to God. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. Why am I concerned? Verse 15, we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are but a shadow. Boy, how fast it goes by. We were talking about this a couple of days ago. You know, I think back to when I first walked into the church, Radio Church of God in Indianapolis, Indiana, back in 1967. I was just about to turn 18. That's 52 years ago. 52 years ago, and it just seems to have jetted by. And so he says at the end, verse 20, David said to all the assembly, now bless Barak, the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed Barak, the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord their God. That must be an attitude we possess. But there is a God in this world that is trying to prevent that every day. Psalm 34. Bring out a couple of psalms before I kind of wrap this all up. Psalm 34, another psalm of David, written in an acrostic style. Topic he is dealing with is completion, perfection, dealing with deliverance. God does. Angels are about us. But notice how he starts. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do I approach God in case of emergency like dialing 911? We have a show on TV. 911, what is your emergency? Is that when we now approach God? I need help. And I'm not trying to discourage that. That is true. But what about the other times? The author of Psalm 119 says, seven times a day I praise you. Seven times. Mr. Armstrong said at one point in the past, he prayed 30 to 60 times a day. 30 to 60. What about me? I can't even get down on my knees once. Psalm 63. Again, keep in mind these angels. What they're doing night and day before God and I, his child, who will occupy a position higher than those angels. What about me? Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power, your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Loving kindness is one of the premier Old Testament words for me. Hebrew word is chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. Means steadfast love, steadfast loyalty. And the point here is, has God ever let me down? Has he ever let me down? I think back to our major problem, the first major problem we had in the church in 1974. And the pastor and I sat down after services one day. We were in Baltimore, and we sat down with a man and his wife after services one day. And the man just sat flat out and said, well, I don't believe in tithing anymore. I believe that if I tithe, I'm going to end up in the poorhouse. As we looked at this man, because I was there before even the pastor came in, this was one of the wealthiest couples in the church. But he believed that if he tithed, he was going to end up in the poorhouse. Has anyone who has tithed with the right attitude ended up in the poorhouse? God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Is that a blessing? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. The end of Psalm 34, is that a blessing? No trial or temptation is taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you are able. When I go through it, boy, oh boy, do I go through it. Even this year, I speak personally. It has been a rough year. But he provides a way of escape. Is it a blessing? Once he has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. Satan comes along and trips us up. We can get caught up in so many things. Personally, family, marriage, they get our minds off of blessing God. Psalm 63 continues, thus I will bless Barak, you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Psalm 96 in the fourth book of Psalms. Verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, Barak, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. I add from Sabbath to Sabbath, from holy day to holy day. Verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. I've made a comment before. Got a response. Folks figure that, hey, I just love speaking. I try to avoid this like the plague. but I know I got drafted. But you give me a choice between speaking and leading songs, I will lead songs every day of the year. When I led songs, one of the things I brought out over and over again, think about the words that you are singing. Even blessed and happy is the man. You know it inside out, front, backwards. I even led that in sign language up at Wisconsin Dells. But think about the words that you're singing. Now, some become a bit self-conscious. I don't have a voice to sing. All right, hey, that happens. That happens. I've mentioned a guy from Baltimore, loved him to death, Luther Ritchie, only knew high and low, and he messed that up. And that was the loudest voice in Westview Cinema Theater. You can hear him, ah, blessed and happy. God, look at his heart. God saw his heart. What about me? Think about these words that I am singing. These are prayers to God to bless him like the angels. Psalm 103. Another one here from David. Verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So I've remarked before, there was soul music in the Bible before James Brown came on the scene. David was a soul music man. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless Barak, his holy name. I've covered it as well before, the covenant names of God. Compound names with Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton. Yahweh Yidah, Lord sees and he provides. Yahweh Rapha, he heals. Yahweh Nisi, as my hands go up to that God, Amalek is going to be defeated. Satan is going to be defeated. Enemies are going to be defeated. But when those hands come down, when I am not praying, when I am not blessing him, Satan wins. Yahweh Mikadishkim, the one who sanctifies, sets us apart. Shalom, he is our peace. Sidkenu, our righteousness. Shama, he is there. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Name them one by one. He lists several of them in the next three verses. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? It says God forgives. It's important that that should be first, because that is our primary need. Isaiah 59 mentions that our Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's why he can't hear. And as it says in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard it in my heart, that he knows. I mean, it is bare before God, says the Lord will not hear. So God doesn't hear until sin is dealt with. When we repent, God forgives. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Second, God heals. The late British writer, C.S. Lewis, wrote that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. Powerful statement. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. So what do when we're in pain? Help! My elder from Barbados gave the sermon today in the Caribbean, dealing with this very point. God allows the pain for a reason. He doesn't have to heal right away. We want it. As a matter of fact, we want you to heal day before yesterday. But he is working out something. He is shouting to us what he wants from us. The character. The character. Remember how an oyster makes a pearl? that grain of sand gets inside of the oyster, it irritates the oyster. We get that grain of sand inside of us, we're doing everything. Get that stuff out of me. The oyster envelops that grain of sand in its inside portion. And before long, it turns into a pearl. Know something? That's what God is doing with us. That's what he is doing in our lives. Our lives are out of whack. And Satan is getting us even further out of whack. Our focus isn't where it really should be. So he allows these things to come upon us. As David said earlier in the familiar psalm, he restores my soul. He restores what's out of joint in my life. Third, he preserves. David didn't live a sheltered life. Even as a young shepherd boy, he faced danger and death a number of times. Lions, bears, all kinds of things he would deal with, even Saul. But he says God redeemed his life from destruction. You know, I hope we all make it. Because I want us all to be able to look back over the existence we've had in this life and see the number of times God has intervened. And we weren't even aware of it. We did not even see it. Fourth, he provides. David praises God, who crowns him with loving kindness, tender mercies, chesed. He always provides. Fifth, he satisfies. And so at the end of this chapter, verse 20, bless, Barak, the Lord. You, his angels, who excel in strength, for who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless Barak, the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless Barak, the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Spills over into the last three chapters of this fourth book of Psalms. Psalm 104, verse 1, bless Barak, the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Then he talks about the creation, the magnificence of the creation. He concludes verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth. And the wicked be no more. Bless Barak, the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Psalm 105, he talks about Israel. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for he is mercy endures forever. He deals with Israel, and he concludes this fourth book in this chapter, verse 48. Bless Barak, be the Lord, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. You just go through the book of Psalms. You see why David's the man after God's own heart. One other section over here in Psalm 145. And then I'll go to one in the New Testament. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless Barak, your name, forever and ever, every day. Every day, I will bless you. See, that's why I go through those notes that I did the study on so many years ago, because I look back over the prayers that I had just over the past week. Every day, I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Verse 10, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. That's us. That's us. In verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. It ain't Democrat or Republican. It ain't conservative or liberal. It is the kingdom of God that is needed here on this earth. And in this country, I know I have that hope. I've been blessed with that by God. And so have we all. Then in the New Testament, just one section at the end of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. It says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Different from eulogia, eulogio, similar. He blessed them. Verse 51 of Luke 24, now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. What a fitting tribute to the end of a book. Praising and blessing God. Amen. Because they were blessed so well by God. I repeat that prayer of the unknown Confederate soldier. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. That weakness is a blessing from God. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. That infirmity is a blessing from God if it results in the character of God. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. You've been to certain places around this earth and you see they have nothing. Throughout the length and breadth of Africa, they have nothing. But they have a deep respect for God. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. And when I am, who do I turn to? As I age, who do I turn to? When I'm young, full of strength, full of power. I don't need God, Invictus. I don't need God. Get old. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. And what a tremendous blessing to me personally this past Thanksgiving to see my family, surrounded by my family. One of the greatest blessings that God has given me. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for, almost despite myself. My unspoken prayers were answered. I among all men, I, Arnold Jerome Hampton, you, what's your name? I among all men and all women am most richly blessed. I would have ended the sermon today with everybody following the example of the angels and raising a loud voice and saying, bless God, but you might think I'm making you Protestant. I'll leave it with bless God, for it should be a very important part of our prayer life day by day by day, because to him belongs all praise, all honor, all glory, all blessing. So bless God.